Surprise, surprise! Bite the hand that feeds them. The rot, in other words, is deep. The War Party, in all its glory and with all its money, still runs Washington. All the same, the end of war in Afghanistan could be a crucial step towards the end of the so-called War on Terror. There is a raw, powerful symbolism to this moment, and to the President of the United States effectively saying, "We're done here," and nearly admitting we lost. This combined with the unmistakable message of 2020 and 2021 that we ought to be more worried about pathogens than terrorists may generate wider change. Time will tell. For now, we should celebrate the end of one war and prepare to dismantle the bigger one.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have the honor and absolute privilege of being joined by my darling friend and dear sister, Sister Razia Shamani. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Today, I believe we're going to discuss something that is rarely talked about, in all honesty. And what better platform, what better show to discuss it than Muslim Lady? We're going to be talking about daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
And how did the noble prophet treat his daughters? In history, in historical accounts, you read that he had a gracious behavior towards women in general, and specifically towards his daughters, and also the girls in his family, because he married women who had daughters, who had children from their previous marriages.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of love.
Stepdaughters.
Exactly, to be with the Prophet.
The stepdaughters of the Prophet of God.
Exactly.
The stepdaughters of Prophet Muhammad.
I remember reading somewhere that the Prophet would respect the children of his wives a lot, because he believed that if you want to respect a woman, you have to respect her children. This is amazing. Nowadays, there are a lot of divorces.
It's revolutionary.
Exactly. Just how open-minded, how sophisticated,
how empathetic he was.
How emotional, how psychologically elevated, how understanding this man was. Even nowadays, after 1,400 years, these so-called gentlemen, you know, they marry sometimes women with children, like who were previously divorced. And one of the main problems that arises between a couple with children from their previous marriages is that they cannot establish a good relationship. I mean, the woman with the man's children from the previous marriage and the man with the woman's children from her previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of like chaotic situations arise just because they do not know how to treat these children.
Yeah.
And oftentimes the woman does not have much choice but to respect and to treat the man's children well, because she is not in a power position
yeah.
in the family. But the man who is more in the power position, he needs to be very wise, and he needs to be well aware of the consequence of him treating the children well in order for him to establish a good relationship with his wife. Mm. Now, this was something that the noble prophet knew and acted upon.
Even though he had the position of power.
Exactly.
You know, the most powerful man in the world, he was. He had all the rights. The family line that he had, the position that he had, the lineage that he had. But he was just so kind and merciful and so just, so fair.
Especially towards girls and daughters.
More of that after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady here in the studio. I'm with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're talking about the position of women in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
I just wanted to take your attention to the fact that all these become even more noteworthy when you do understand the very low position and stance of women and girls in the society where the Prophet used to live.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So in that context, when you read that, it's like you...
It's a big deal.
It's really a big deal. After giving birth to Qasim and another son, who obviously passed away, now whenever the news of a baby girl reached the Prophet, what would he do?
He'd rejoice.
He would show his joy and his happiness.
And his gratitude.
His gratitude to first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his wife, and then he would, you know, celebrate in a feast that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted him a daughter.
Beautiful. This beautiful during a time where, as the Quran notes, if the news of a daughter reached the father, his face would turn black from fury and wrath.
Exactly.
And he would turn away from his people out of shame, and he would be mocked and ridiculed, and his wife would be
humiliated. And he didn't know to keep her with shame or to bury her alive.
Bury her alive.
This is at that time. And but unfortunately, we said that three of these daughters died while the Prophet himself was alive. And for their death, Prophet himself, like for example, when Ruqayya died, the Prophet himself buried her. Fatima obviously had lost a sister, right?
Mm.
And he would soothe Lady Fatima in a very emotional way. They passed these tragic moments along with Fatima and Khadija. This was very beautiful.
And this just comes to show that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through every tragedy a human being could endure.
Possibly have. Right.
Right?
Right?
Name another human being who lost their parents, their most beloved spouse, their children, their guardian, whether it was their grandfather, their uncle, their other uncle, Hamza alayhi salam, who died in the most vicious, brutal way, and went through social discrimination, was shunned by his own community and his own tribe,
right,
was ridiculed, was slandered for being a sorcerer, being a poet, being a madman.
I know.
Putting spells on people. He who was known as the most trustworthy, the most logical, the most intelligent, the most kind among his people. He went through it all. And at the end of the day, when he was about to pass away, this might be a little irrelevant, but I feel like this is just, you know, little pockets of opportunity we have to celebrate the existence of our Prophet.
The magnanimity.
Exactly.
Of his essence.
Exactly. When Azrael came to take his soul, Rasulullah asked, "Are my people going to suffer?" And Azrael told him, "This was nothing. This was nothing. I was the most gentle to you." And Rasulullah was worried about us.
After every tragedy and pain he went through, he did not lose that aspect of humanity, kindness, being mercy for all of the world.
This is such a beautiful point you just mentioned.
And we don't deserve him. We just don't, because we don't appreciate him enough.
That is so true. One thing I just wanted to correct myself was, when Ruqayyah passed away, Khadija had already gone.
Died, yeah.
Because she passed away
after Hijra, yeah.
Obviously, when Ruqayyah passed away, it was only Fatima and her
father. Which makes it really even more sad.
Yeah, exactly, because there's no mom to console her.
Yeah, exactly. And Rasulullah must have felt that this is the remnants of my beloved wife.
Exactly.
And they're slipping away from me one by one.
Beautiful. Something that nowadays the psychologists are putting a lot of emphasis and educationalists are saying is that if there is a good relationship between the father and the daughter, because usually girls look up to their father, and they take him as their role models, especially
as their standard, really.
As the standard, exactly, of the male sex later in their life when they want to
allow into their lives.
The relationship of the noble prophet and Lady Fatima, you can get very eye-catching information that you can use it in your own relationship with your daughter.
Now, Rasulullah, well, he really set the standard pretty high for the men we could allow in our lives.
Well, because girls are worthy of that standard.
True. Stay with us.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
We're talking about the position of women in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The noble prophet had immense love for Lady Fatima, salamullah alayha, right? Historians, you can see in many places of history that Messenger of Allah would kiss Fatima. He would put his head on her chest. He would smell her and say, "I smell heaven from Fatima."
That's beautiful.
Of course, you know, Fatima,
she was a special person.
She was a special, you know, she was a huri, right?
She was an angelic entity in the body
of a human being,
right? In the form of a human.
So she was actually the yardstick of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's satisfaction on the earth. If you wanted to know what Allah would be pleased with, you would look at Lady Fatima's conduct and her pleasure and her content. And if you wanted to see where is the red line and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, this is the no zone, no entry zone, Lady Fatima's conduct again was an instance or an indication of whether such an act was appropriate to be carried out or not. I think we can understand that maybe, perhaps we could say that the respect of a father for her daughter should increase according to the spiritual level of her daughter.
Of course.
Of course, there is a minimum love and emotional support and respect. But then this special love that the noble prophet showed her daughter, and she, you know,
among all his other daughters.
Exactly. It was uniquely for Fatima because Fatima was very unique.
MashaAllah.
Right? Whenever she entered into the presence of the noble prophet, he stood up, approached her, kissed her hand, and let her sit in his place. Reflecting on what happened and how she died, and that her grave is still hidden, and no one but the Imam of our time knows the whereabouts of Lady Fatima's grave. And you know that how she passed away, completely dissatisfied with some people of the Ummah. And you know that her dissatisfaction is the dissatisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happened after the demise of the Holy Prophet and her reaction to certain people, it makes quite good sense of what the true way of guidance is and was. So it's like her consent was like a political guideline for like people who don't know what the right course of action was and what was the wrong. Fatima said it with her action. She said, "Ya Ali, I don't want anyone
to attend my funeral
but to attend my funeral." because I am not happy with them.
She made a political statement,
right?
Basically, because I think it's because, I'm sorry to cut you off, that she wasn't heard. You know, she wasn't heard the way she had to be as a member of the society, as the daughter of the most prominent person in that time, as the owner of so many things that were usurped from her. She had a voice, she had a right, but she wasn't heard out. So she had to go through desperate measures to indicate to people that this isn't cool. I'm not happy with the situation at all. You guys have wronged me, my family, the rights of this nation, the rights of my father on you. And I think that in a way is a lesson for us as well, that if you're not heard, you have to just look for different ways and methods to make a stance, to stand for what you believe in, to stand for your own rights, to fight for yourself, what's correct, basically.
And no matter how weak you may seem to be in your society, but the impact that you can leave for ages and for generations to come, don't take it for granted.
MashaAllah, yes.
Right?
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, for that enlightening and interesting perspective, that light you shed on this aspect of history. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. Thank you for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. I wish that somehow you tell me out aloud that on that day I'll be okay.
Food for thought.
Salam. And how about listening to a thought-provoking saying from Imam Ali, peace upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Do not make a sinner despair. Many of the sinful enjoy a happy end on repentance, while many of the seemingly devout rupture their deeds and deserve hell. Allah may protect us from hell.
This is IRIB English Radio.
website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear. He is a metaphor. He's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps. Not all the problems, because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot to reach the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow.
Flocks of sheep are on the streets of Madrid. The animals have made their way through the center of the Spanish capital to follow ancient migration routes. Shepherds accompanied their sheep and goats moving through the streets of the Spanish capital. They actually marked a centuries-old annual tradition that began in 1994. The event allows shepherds to migrate their cattle from summer to winter pastures. They do so based on a deal struck in 1418 that allows the animals to walk through the city freely. The event attracts hundreds of people. It was canceled last year due to the pandemic, but this year, many locals came out to watch.
The Philippines is among the countries facing a soaring plastic waste crisis. However, a group of recyclers are working hard to tackle the problem, turning the waste into building materials. The group is called the Plastic Flamingo, or simply the Pluff. They gather bottles, single-use sachets, and snack food wrappers. The waste is then shredded and molded into post-add planks that can be used for decking and fencing. Their products are also durable enough to make disaster relief shelters and urban furniture. The group says the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the plastic waste problem, sparking a rush for protection equipment. Their disposal is a matter of concern now.
Because of the plastic problem we're currently facing, the pandemic, the huge accumulation of plastic use, there's also improper disposal. People are unaware on you know, how do I dispose these plastics? Where do I dispose of them? So at the same time, we give that avenue also that instead of putting it in landfills or oceans in general, you know, you give it to the plaf, you give it to recycling centers like us, and we would recycle these, upcycle them into better products.
The plaf says surging online shopping is also another problem that they try to address. The group has collected over 100 tons of plastic waste since it started the business in 2019. However, they still have a lot to do. A UN report says some 300 million tons of plastic waste are produced annually, with South Asian countries accounting for 60% of it. A North Macedonian zoo has a new inhabitant. It may be small, but it has certainly sparked a big amount of joy. The baby marmoset was born 3 weeks ago. Its parents are super protective of their precious offspring. That's why zoo staff have not been able to get close to the baby and determine if it's a male or a female. The tiny primate will be given a name after its sex is known. Marmosets are the world's smallest monkeys. On average, they are about 13 centimeters long and weigh up to 100 grams. The adorable animals can be found in a number of countries in the Americas.
The hustle and bustle of modern life has made it difficult to communicate with nature the way humans used to do a few decades ago. Now a giant statue in the state of New York reminds us of the importance of lending an attentive ear to our surroundings. The massive statue named Water's Soul is located along the Hudson River. A woman's head with her index finger pressing on her lips seems she's asking bystanders to maintain silence. It's a work of 66-year-old Spanish artist Juanme Palenza. He says the message of his work is, quote, to call on people to listen to the profound noise of the water talking to us. Water's Soul was made of polyester resin, fiberglass, and marble dust at a Barcelona studio. It was later shipped to its Jersey City site for assembly. The sculpture is 24 meters tall.
You might have heard of Iran's stellar wrestling achievements or about its soccer team, but that's not all. Another sport has grabbed attention too. Golfers now competing during Iran's national golf tournament in Tehran. This year, 90 participants from around the country played on a very unique golf course. It is only 13 holes instead of the standard 18, but that hasn't stopped golf enthusiasts playing the 13 holes and then repeating the last five to complete the tournament. The good news is that the golf course might not stay so small for long. Iran's Golf Federation hopes to bring in more people interested in golf, but for this to happen, the infrastructure must be provided first.
We don't have the space to use the 350 instructors to train the 3,000 registered men and women across the country, so we decided to build a national academy off the golf course. Course number 18 will be used in a competition venue during tournaments and as a training and education venue during non-competition times.
When the course was built decades ago in northern Tehran, it had five more holes. But over the years, fairways were laid across parts of the field, reducing playable footprint. Tehran's golf club has about 300 members, half are women. Golf has been around in Iran for over a century, and most of the courses are in southern provinces.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
Concerned about endangered animals? If yes, then it will be good news that a Mexican zoo has welcomed a newborn zebra. It belongs to the most threatened of the three species of zebra in the world. The foal made a public appearance Thursday, 10 days after it was born at a zoo in northern Mexico. It's about 50 centimeters tall. Its weight, between 10 to 15 kilograms. The newborn equine raises hopes for the conservation of the imperial zebra species.
We are the only zoo in Mexico that has this species of zebra. Unfortunately, it is an endangered species. Here at the zoo, we are doing everything possible to preserve and produce them so that in the future, we can repopulate some other parks.
The imperial zebra is native to Africa. It is the largest of the wild equids, the family of horses, donkeys, and other animals. Currently, there are less than 2,500 of imperial zebras in the wild. That's blamed on the destruction of their habitat, illegal hunting, and lack of food.
The world's largest Ferris wheel has opened to public in the United Arab Emirates. Dubbed the Dubai Eye, the wheel takes the visitors to a height of 250 meters. Feast their eyes on the city skyline. That is almost double the height of the iconic London Eye and over 80 meters taller than the high roller in the U.S. city of Las Vegas. Each full rotation of the giant structure takes 38 minutes. The city put on a spectacular firework and light display to celebrate the open.
The 38th edition of the International Short Film Festival has kicked off in the Iranian capital, with some 63 films from 32 countries competing in the event. The festival has for the first time turned into an Oscar qualifying event, giving winning entries a shot at the Academy Awards. This is being held at Tehran's famous Iran Mall cinema complex, and it will showcase short feature, documentary, and experimental works. 5 Iranian films and 58 from abroad are selected for the grand prize, and the winner will be presented to the Academy for possible Oscar nomination. The jury has members from Iran as well as Italy, Japan, and France. The festival will be running until October 23rd.
Natural disasters often disrupt normal life, but that's not the case with an Indian couple who got married despite their town being submerged by floodwaters. The couple, identified by local media as health workers in Kerala State, managed to reach a temple for the wedding in a giant cooking pot. They could be seen smiling and waving in their ceremonial clothes while two of their relatives were steering the pot. The couple reportedly borrowed the pot from the temple, saying that was the only option available. The pair was unwilling to postpone their big day, adding an unforgettable story to a country that is famous for many incredible things. Feeling down, it's all right to cry and get help. That's all what a place called the Crying Room tries to tell its visitors in Spain. The Crying Room is part of a building located in central Madrid. It's free and open to the public. The Crying Room aims to remove the stigma attached to mental health, crying, and seeking help. It offers a wide range of services, from a corner to crying, to a phone with a list of psychologists people can call. Motivating messages are also visible on the walls. People have hailed the initiative, saying it helps them speak out about their negative emotions.
I think it's an excellent idea to visualize the widespread of the mental health issue. And I think it's a really fun take on it, to call it the crying room, because of the Spanish expression, if you want to cry, go to the crying room. So it's kind of stigmatized to cry in Spain, as in many other countries. So I wanted to take part in this this visualization of the problem.
The crying room was opened in an effort to raise awareness about mental health and well-being. Official data in Spain showed that around 40% of people had symptoms of depression last year. Another 30% experienced anxiety.
The first movie in orbit in the making. Two Russian nationals who traveled to the International Space Station to shoot scenes of that movie are now back on Earth. The Soyuz MS-18 spacecraft carrying an actress and a film director undocked from the ISS early Sunday and successfully touched down in Kazakhstan about 3 hours later. The film crew, along with a veteran astronaut, blasted off from the Russian-leased Baikonur Cosmodrome earlier this month. They spent 12 days in the ISS to shoot the scenes. The mission beats a Hollywood movie project starring Tom Cruise. The mission adds to a long list of firsts for Russia's space industry. Fabric cuts used to recreate Vietnamese landscapes. A woman living in the capital, Hanoi, has been doing that for 40 years now. The artist, 61 years old, explains what material she uses to create her artworks.
All the details in my artworks are cut from cloth, which is used for oyai, traditional costume, or cut from silk scarves. These are very small details, and I have to get the whole cloth for oyai. I even have to cut them from beautiful silk scarves sent from my friends abroad.
Duke says sometimes hundreds of thousands of pieces of cloth are needed to shape the scenes. The cuts should be put together very carefully. Besides that, the woman has to work in a room without any air conditioning, even in the boiling summers of Hanoi. That's because, she says, the pieces of cloth are very tiny and would easily blown away. Her hard work has paid off. The creations sell for up to $5,000. The Vietnamese artist says her work are a summary of the passion and the beauty she has experienced after traveling across her country.
Materials and methods are vital for an artist who combines them to create a masterpiece. Well, a Brazilian artist has used an unusual material to create a huge, dazzling artwork. Mondano has drawn a mural measuring 1,000 square meters using ashes from the burned Amazon rainforest. The artwork on the side of a building in the city of Sao Paulo depicts a firefighter standing near the scenes of deforestation, blazes, and dead animals. Mondano says he traveled extensively to feel that sadness and, more importantly, to collect ashes from it for his paintings. He says his aim is to call attention to the environment in his home country, where thousands of wildfires break out each year.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear Muslims, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Iran. Our topic is about significance of politeness and mannerism in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Grateful today,
for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هالينا.
Today, Thursday, is the 21st of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Nur from the Holy Quran, verse 62.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله وإذا كانوا معه على أمر جامع لم يذهبوا حتى يستأذنوه إن الذين يستأذنونك أولئك الذين يؤمنون بالله ورسوله فإذا استأذنوك لبعض شأنهم فأذن لمن شئت منهم واستغفر لهم الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
The believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. And when they are meeting with Him for a matter of common interest, do not depart until they have asked His permission. Indeed, those who ask your permission, O Muhammad, those are the ones who believe in Allah and His Messenger. So when they ask your permission for something of their affairs, then give permission to whom you will among them, and ask forgiveness for them of Allah. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Paying attention to this matter is important, that the purpose of taking permission is not that everyone takes permission superficially and goes after his own job. But he must really take permission. That is, if the leader sees that his absence is insignificant, he permits him to go. Otherwise, he must not go, and sometimes he must forfeit his personal and private job to a more important aim. Thus, following this matter, the Quran adds, implying that those who ask you permission and their belief in Allah and His Messenger is not a mere oral one, but they obey you and Allah's commandment with their soul and spirit, then give them leave.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone.
We're talking about significance of politeness in Islam. Today's special, IRIB English Radio. Plato says, the best way to gain friendship is through humility and politeness. The great thinkers of Islam further elaborate this point. Arrogance is the enemy of friendship. Anyone having arrogance in mind and vanity in walk casts out his well-wishers and minimizes his friends. On the contrary, the benevolent and polite person attracts friends. The selfish cannot gain friends because people do not tolerate arrogance. Humility and politeness are two of the fundamental principles of sociology, and in Islamic teachings, it has been emphasized for the people to avoid conceit and a superiority complex and win the favor of people and pleasure of Allah through politeness.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with politeness as viewed in Islamic teachings. We have to consider this kind of politeness in how to encounter really holy men. It's indicated in this regard in the Holy Quran that Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi wa la tajharu lahu bil qawli. O those people who have faith, O believers, never raise your voice over the voice level of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Elsewhere in the Holy Quran, it's indicated إن الذين يغضون أصواتهم عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى. Those people who speak in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a mild, low voice, they've been successful in receiving the divine test. And those people who address the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a loud voice, they've been regarded as ignorant people. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Those people who call upon you from outside your houses, they are not that much, intellectual people. They are, below the level of expectation. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. When you want to call the Prophet Muhammad, never call him as you would call each other. Another kind of politeness is politeness regarding one's parents. Since parents are really very praiseworthy for the development and nourishment and intellectual caliber we receive, we are very much expected to treat our parents with utmost respect. And we find that this kind of respect is indicated in the Surah Yusuf in the Holy Quran, the Surah Yusuf, Joseph, in the Holy Quran. وَرَفَعَ بَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He requests his parents to sit over the throne, while Joseph, Yusuf, Joseph, was the top tier ruler of Egypt. Or, for example, the kind of treatment Ismail showed to his father Abraham, when Abraham told him that he had received some divine indication and instructions to sacrifice him.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Thank you very much for listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. We know more about Islamic mannerism. To be just and fair, dear friend, performing justice within the community amongst the people is another quality or beauty of a believer. It is because this characteristic gives others a sense of relief and dependability and someone to turn to in times of need, whatever the need may be. When one is just and treats others fairly, he or she becomes trusted and others turn to him or her in any dispute because they respect that particular individual for this beauty. Trust is a very important property to earn in this world. We as Muslims living in this society can easily witness the importance of trust amongst people. every place you go, whether at work or school or home, trusting someone is the key because it displays the character of a human being. Our bosses at work trust us with whatever we are doing would be for the benefit of the company. Our professors at school and colleges trust us that we would not cheat in our exams or projects. Among habits of polite people, we listen to this one. They don't interrupt. One of the cardinal sins of mannerism is interrupting others when they are speaking. Polite people simply don't do it. Oftentimes, being a good listener will short-circuit this impulsive behavior. Instead of thinking about what you want to say next, focus on what the other people is saying and let them finish their thought before sharing yours. Other habit of polite person is that he or she has polite body language. It is not enough to say polite words if your body language is saying something else entirely. Polite people are just as polite with their mannerisms and posture as they are with their speech. This means maintaining eye contact, keeping an open stance, and not fiddling with your phone.
Why people do not change? Why religion does not change people? Psychologists say that every human being carries inside him two types of brains. Al-aql al-batini wal-aql al-zahiri. The internal brain and the external brain. Every person has two types of brains. The internal brain is the result of his culture, is the result of his tarbiyah. His parents, the way he was brought up when he was 2 months old, the result of his society, the result of his family, his tribe, his home. This is al-aql al-batin. Al-aql al-zahiri is the result of his religion, what he hears in the masjid, what he hears in the sermon. Al-aql al-batin, they give an example of the Bedouins in the desert. The Bedouins in the desert, they have been taught since they were only a few weeks old that your blood is better than that tribe's blood. You are superior. They believe in a tribal supremacy. Tribal superiority. That your tribe, your family, is better than that family. It's embedded in them. Even though he doesn't know his family very well, he doesn't know the name of his grandfather, but he thinks that his blood is better than others. This is ta'assub, asabiyya. Racism, tribalism and racism. He believes in a pride and a prejudice. They teach him that you have to be proud, always proud. Be proud. He believes in revenge. He doesn't believe in forgiveness. He believes in revenge. If you hurt me, once, I'm going to hurt you 5 times. This is why when the Prophet came, every spot in Arabia was saturated with the blood, human blood. Killing was the easiest thing. We had two types of cowboys. Cowboys in the Arabian Peninsula, who are called Bedou, and cowboys here in the West. Two types of cowboys. That cowboy would use the sword, this one would use the gun. That's the only difference. Otherwise, with the slightest argument, they would carry either the sword or the gun, and they will kill the rival.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue for another one tomorrow. Till then, have a nice time and fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.